Father, for the opportunity again before us to study thy word, to assemble ourselves in obedience to thy truth, and not as the manner of some. We ask that God the Holy Spirit will open our minds and our understanding as we continue to apply the things that we learn, so that we might be more effective and as a result glorify thee in the Christian life, for we ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, our study again is point C, having to do with the role of human volition in accepting or rejecting authority. We have said that there are areas of authority that you can, in fact, volitionally become negative to, and legitimately so, when it deals with illegitimate authority. Remember, illegitimate authority is that area of authority involving the cosmic system and Satan's realm of power. You are to reject all forms of illegitimate authority. However, at the same time, you have the prerogative of accepting, volitionally deciding upon, the positive side or legitimate authority, which involves many, many areas which we have been studying. Last night, as a matter of review, we found out, for example, that the rejection of legitimate government authority is destructive. We've also seen how the legitimate authority of parents can also lead to disaster in the life of the child. And again, I must repeat what I said last evening and have probably said now for the last 24 years. The thing that is very upsetting to me is that today's children are tomorrow's leaders. Now, when I said that 24 years ago, it wasn't as bad as it is today. And in fact, I'm quite pleased in some of the children that were raised at Westside Bible that are now today's leaders, and quite frankly, they're doing admirably. On the other hand, I see an arrogance and a self-righteousness which is reflected in some young people that is going to be absolutely devastating upon them and the lives of whom they touch. There's also a very, very negative attitude in even some of the children of Westside Bible. Quite frankly, they look at you with that, "I don't give a damn, and I could care less about what you have to say or what any prep school teacher has ever said or what anybody has to say. I'm going to live my life." And when they consider the fact that they're not much to begin with, there's not much of a life there. Why is it that the duds want to remain and become duddier? You would think that anything that is lacking, and all of us lack in certain areas, whether it be personality or ability, that we wouldn't enhance that lack by utilizing principles of doctrine, which of course can make the average life a phenomenal life. The average mind, a great thinking mind. A lower IQ, a higher IQ. There's no question in my mind that learning doctrine and utilizing the principles of the filling of the Spirit enhances your ability to learn and therefore simply makes you a sharper individual. There are those who have admitted to me over the years that they were not so bright when they went to school originally, and yet now when they go back, either the standards have dropped terribly, or it is so easy for them now because of their academic disciplines and their ability simply not only to take notes, but in fact to understand what is being taught. Now that's great. And when you walk into a classroom or you walk into a business or you begin a business or become an employee and or an employer, in and through the filling of the Spirit, you have a dynamic that no one can parallel. So I encourage you, of course, if for no other reason, that you understand how you can definitely enhance your life and have your life have greater meaning and greater definition with tremendous purpose. Now, I'm not going to say it's easy. Both my wife and I admitted this evening that the older we get, not only the harder we work, but the harder we work to do what we may have done easily 20 years ago. In other areas, well, quite frankly, they just don't get done because I can't do them anymore. John came out to the shop today after I'd spent some time on the computer in the morning, and he said, well, what are we doing today, Dad? And I said, well, John, I'm just staring at the wall. There was one of my prime occupations for this afternoon. And then this morning, I came up with about four or five great ideas that I talked myself out of because they involved doing, and I just didn't feel like doing it. Whereas 20 years ago, I'd have just went ahead and done it, and you'd have seen some either smoke or whirlwind going about the area. Now I have more time to think, and the more I think, the more I think I can't do it. Getting back to this now, well, you see, you have to learn your limitations. But why limit yourself any more than you have to by having to just do with what you are in the flesh? Isn't much. It isn't much. You may be impressed, but I'm here to tell you that very few people are. And then on the other hand, people might be impressed, but that's not important. Because in the light of eternity, the time that we spend on earth is like a grain of sand in comparison to all of the grains of sand that are found throughout this planet, and if there be any others, throughout the entirety of God's creation, and that's only a day in eternity. So we build so much on the 70 that we spend on topside of planet earth. It's interesting to hear, finally, they've become reasonable in their approach. They said that Marlene Dietrich died of old age. She was 90 years old. I don't know why they keep having to tell us what the person died of. They died of old age. They were 94, and they died of this failure, that failure. Remember, folks, you live long enough, something will kill you. Very deep, but it'll get you, and eventually you'll pass from this life, and that's when it counts. And don't ever think you have so many years ahead of you, because you don't. You don't. There isn't a person in this room that has any guarantee they'll be alive tomorrow. None of you. I don't have it, you don't have it. And the very fact that God gives us time is simply telling us one of two things. I have more for you to do, or I'm patiently waiting for you to get with the program. God is very, very patient. I would trust that with most of you, it would be that I have more for you to do, because remember, we are eternal beings. We are unchangeable from the standpoint of life until God is through. And when he is, we're gone, just like that. As James says, it appears like a vapor, just here for a little while, and then it's gone. And that's life. You better take advantage of the time you have, because it may be too late. At least years ago, I could threaten you with atomic warfare with the Russians and so on. Now they can do all they get just to have toilet paper, so I guess that's... You heard Kurt took rolls of toilet paper with him just in case. You imagine going through customs? What are you trying to do, smuggle these in? Yeah, I'm going to sell them for 100,000 rubles apiece. That's about a quarter, I guess, in our language. I'm doing some dealing with mainland Greece, and it's rather difficult because, you know, when I ask for prices, or the friend of mine that's doing the calling, he'll say, well, how much is so-and-so? And she'll say, 75,000 drachmas. And, of course, that's rather scary. And then you figure that's at $390-something dollars. That sounds a lot better. But 75,000 anything is scary when it comes to money. Then I was looking at some of the exchanges in the paper the other day, and there are some places where The rate of exchange is like 0.00004387246, as if it would make any difference after you get down to the fourth zero. Let's continue where we left off last night. Point six. For those of you that are outlining somehow and somewhat, last night we took up point five and we gave you A, B, C, D, and E as areas of illustrations. We ended with point E, which says, rejection of all of the above authorities means you have potential of becoming a criminal. Remember that criminality is simply a rejection of some form of authority, and we also saw that rejection of authority is generally based on arrogance. I must say this, I have never met an arrogant person that didn't reject authority. I've never met a rejecter of authority that wasn't arrogant. We've had some here that were lawless. They rejected all forms of authority, including their own. No respect for anyone else, including themselves, and they were arrogant people, blinded by their arrogance. Well, that was point E. Point six. While God has delegated authority in life in legitimate categories, such as government, husbands, parents, teachers, coaches, public officers, judges, and management, comma, this authority is useless apart from human consent. That's a long point, but remember our heading, the role of human volition in accepting authority. So you see, ultimately, and this is the underlying factor, this is what you should have indelibly impressed in your mind, that the rejection of any form of legitimate authority is ultimately a rejection of God's delegated authority. Let me give you an illustration. I have met women who said they dearly love the Lord, you know, they have to tell you they do, and they get that fluttery little look on their face, and yet they are continually demeaning their husband and wouldn't obey him if they had to. And then they say, and all I'm interested in doing is serving the Lord and following His word. Well, you idiot woman, you have violated one of the principles of the word by not obeying your husband. So don't try to impress people with the fact that you love the Lord or that you want to obey Him. If you want to obey Him, then you'll obey Him in every area, and that includes what? The fundamental area within the structure of a household, and that is a wife being subordinate to her own husband in the Lord. I've heard this repeatedly over the years. And other people are so impressed with how godly so-and-so is. Oh, wake up and smell the scriptures. You can't say you're following the dictates of the Word of God and be lawless in the streets by violating every single traffic sign, or you're one of these that likes to take advantage of the yellow or whatever. Now, you are allowed, I can tell you this, 5 miles an hour. No one is ever going to write you a ticket. If you're in a 40-mile zone and you're doing 45 miles an hour, they tolerate that. If for no other reason, because of the variations in speedometer readings. You can take five automobiles and set them down the road together, and they'll all be traveling at the same if they're traveling at the same speed, and each speedometer will read differently. One of the ways we used to lose cases in court was that if our speedometers had not been checked within a qualified period of time, the judge would not accept our speedometer reading against someone else's. Say, well, I followed them for the prescribed length, I recorded that they were doing, in fact, 52 miles an hour in a 40-mile zone. Now, you write them for 12 over. They don't give you the 5, you see. They'll give you the 5 as far as stopping you. But then the guy says, no, I was doing 44 miles an hour. The argument. Okay? Well, there you might get by with it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those that just recklessly and lawlessly violate the law. For example, is a statement that you hear often. Laws are made to be broken. Well, that's a great philosophy, especially coming from the mouth of a believer who supposedly is obedient to the law and the Lord. You can't violate the one and not violate the other. You ever get a ticket for speeding, you thank the officer for doing his job. And don't mutter something under your breath after he's gone, because you're too much of a coward to say it to him to his face. The Lord heard that. Eh? That's down in the book. One of the points of indictment. The day of reckoning, your report card day. Muttering at police officers on a daily basis, see? I have a problem with drivers. That is, other drivers. And we'll look at ourselves on an equal basis, and I don't think there's any equality there because they drive like idiots. But then so do I sometimes. I've had to actually apologize. You know, I have my head where it shouldn't be, and I'm not thinking. You ever do that? Or are you one of those that thinks that you're perfect? Well, you better go somewhere else, because you're going to have some problems here. There's a lot of imperfection here. Beginning in the first row and going all the way back to the back row, except for you, of course. And we can tell because you sit there and just glow with perfection. How about children saying, I want to serve the Lord, and they're disobedient to parents? Missed the first mark. How about those that claim they're going to serve the Lord and they rumble and complain about a teacher? How about a parent that complains about a teacher who's only doing their job in the exercise of their authority? How about parents and coaches? Oh, brother. I feel sorry for coaches. They have to put up with so much. From parents especially. Why is my child sitting on the bench? Well, you don't want to say the kid stinks. So you just simply say, we're letting him get used to the game a little bit more. Now, some of you just embarking in the areas of Little League and soccer and things like that. I've been through all of that, by the way. And it's rough. And I don't care if you have a number one star. As far as I'm concerned, there was no one on top side of this earth that could play soccer at his age like my son. And yet, there were coaches that thought he was terrible and made him sit. Yes, I'd pace, as any parent would. But I'll tell you one thing. I never went to the coach and started mouthing off at him. Even when I stood or sat in front of teachers, professors, that were really clucks. You know, some things are too deep for us to know, brother, that stuff. I waited till after class, went to them, and had a reasonable discussion with them. I know some people, and some people who are at Westside, not now, They would raise their hand and make an open spectacle of the individual, make a fool out of him in front of everyone. No, that's rejection of authority. Don't you ever do it. See, that's no better than Los Angeles. You become a hoodlum at that point. Oh, you're going to be popular. But you're a hoodlum. Because hoodlums, you know, are popular. You know, the thinking in this country has so deteriorated, now they cheer the criminal in a shootout. Observers actually cheer on. How about those that are ready to commit suicide and jump from a high building? Did you know that 80% of those that are watching it are encouraging the individual to jump? That's the kind of thinking we have in this country. Certain parts of this country, there are people who don't want to get involved to the point where they won't even lift a finger to help a woman being attacked brutally by four or five young men. It's happened repeatedly. Screams and yells and knife stabs, and doors and windows are actually shut and lights go out. And when asked afterwards, "Why didn't you do anything?" Answer, "I didn't want to get involved." And don't tell me that standards are the same as they've always been. No. No, when you were a teacher, you had respect. A police officer had respect. A parent had respect. A husband had respect. A pastor had respect. No more. Let's use the illustration, for example, of husbands and wives. An example of this would be that the husband is, in fact, the legitimate authority over his wife. But, his authority is useless if she will not subordinate. And he can't just simply pound his chest and let her know that he's Tarzan. It won't work. Here's what I hear occasionally. I'm going to dispel that thinking immediately, I trust. And that is, well, if he starts acting like the authority, then there's nothing in the scripture that stipulates that if he does this, then you do that. You're responsible as a woman to be subordinate to the jerk you married. Well, I assume that's what you're thinking he is, because if he changes his ways, you see, then he'll subordinate. You probably never will. And you single guys don't get married until you realize that you are in fact the authority and you're marrying a woman who is willing to subordinate to you in everything. And if not, wait. The Lord has one for you somewhere. And if you're a woman here and you're single this evening, a suggestion. If you say, "I could never subordinate to any man," I have an answer for you. It's a perfect answer. Don't ever marry. Stay single. When cometh the quarrelings and the arguing and all of the backbiting and all of the maligning and you said and I said and we did and you promised and so on, you'll find out it takes two to argue. One can't do it by themselves. You'll find oft times it's because of a woman who will not subordinate to her husband. It's a violation of authority. And you see, it's popular today. I mean, after all, ladies, you're liberated. Liberated to what? Slavery of your sin nature. Boy, you've gone a long way. And you've completely closed off any possibility of ever enjoying Category 3 love under right man, right woman. Whether she is motivated by love or by something else, she must accept his authority. Whatever the motivation is in your relationship, You must accept his authority. And listen, there are a lot of women that pride themselves in saying, well, I make him think that he's in charge, but I'm the one that makes all the decisions. That is absolute anarchy. And contrary to the Word of God. So don't tell me you're pleasing to the Lord, because you're going to find yourself under constant discipline. You're going to be whacked around your entire life with that attitude. No woman has any man wrapped around her finger and gets by with it in the Christian life. No, I don't have that problem. That's not why I'm speaking to the issue. Some of you are so subjective, you think that maybe my wife and I had some words tonight, and so I'm tearing into her tonight. No, on the contrary. On the contrary. On the contrary. Maybe you have a problem. So quit projecting. Here's my straw man argument for you. As soon as the authority says no, then the personal love is gone. You see, there has to be a principle of impersonal love for a marriage to have any meaning. I spent weeks and months teaching you and developing the whole concept of impersonal love as the stability for a marriage relationship. I frankly was appalled at the attendance. At the beginning, it was great. Some of you availed yourself phenomenally, and you're going to benefit by it. Others didn't avail themselves at all, and they're having a hell of a time in their marriage. Now they want all of that said in a couple of hours in what they want under counseling. It doesn't work that way, folks. It just doesn't work that way. Another example is parents. While parents have authority in the home, this authority is useless apart from, and here are the two factors that make authority legitimate in the home. It's not just that the parent has delegated authority by God over the children, but here are the two factors, training and discipline. It's interesting that the word for discipline in the Greek language, which eventually becomes a part of a title ascribed to an individual called a disciple, has to do with one who is taught. Mathetes is the Greek word. You see, the Greeks understood that apart from discipline, apart from training, apart from teaching, there could be no following. And there could be no example laid or established. You parents, you see, become the foundation of the mentality, exercise, viewpoint of your young people. Yes. You may not like what you see in your offspring. Well, where do you suppose they got it from? What do you think? They wrote read it in a book? How to be a stinking kid in 5 easy lessons. No. It's the lack of discipline. It's the lack of training. It's the lack of instruction. And listen to me, folks. It takes hard work. It takes time and energy. And God knows that. That's why after you pass a certain age, you no longer are productive. If my wife got pregnant now, I would start praying for the rapture. First of all, she can't. Well, no, she can't. She can't and I can't, so that's the way that works. But God says, look, after a certain age, you don't have the energy. Well, what's the matter with you young people? Oh, you know what I see? A bunch of lazy parents. You know where they get 90% of their training? From Sesame Street. Shove them in front of a television. Get them out of your hair. Send them off to camp. And then Bob has to train them. Or worse than that, send them to school.
Listen, school is not a place where they're trained in the place of the parent. That's where they learn their academics. I could talk to any one of the teachers here, and I guarantee you they could spiel off at least 5 students they've known, and probably 50, that they had to take the place of the parent because of the failure of the parent. What's wrong with our society today? Well, they have too much. They have too much what? I'll tell you what they don't have enough of is parental discipline and parental training. It takes hard work. How do you establish your authority as a parent? Well, you have to do it. You just have to do it. We have attitudes today where parents want to be more like friends than they. You see, I had a very simple philosophy. I could care less whether my kids ever liked me or not. I didn't have them for to like me. You understand that? And I didn't have them because my marriage with my wife was on the rocks and we wanted to somehow, you know, bring it together. That's not why you have children. Only idiots have children for that reason. Matter of fact, it's only going to make it worse. No, the way I looked at it is that these children were given to us, and as believers, by God, for us to instruct them and to discipline them so they would be fit members of society. And in the case of my girls, I wanted my 3 girls to marry young men that would not only respect them, but also enjoy them in life. I didn't want to raise 3 bitches, or witches. You see, once young ladies, for example, who are younger, when they're in their formative years, those, 3 through 12, that's where the father actually assumes the role of what the husband is going to be in the life of that individual in the area of authority. And if they don't understand that, what kind of a man are they going to marry? And why doesn't the marriages work? The father role in this country is pitiful. And I'm not speaking hyperbolistically. I'm just being flat out honest with you because I'm responsible to do that before the Lord. The average male in this country is a disaster. I said average. Now, Westside Bible is above average. We've got some great men at Westside Bible Church. Not only do they love their children, but boy, they know how to discipline them and they know how to train them. It takes time. You sit down with them. And you don't start when they're 14 and 15 after the disasters come. That's the result of the lack thereof. Now, when they get into those higher teenage years and start exercising their own mental muscle, there's nothing you can do about it. Until they find out how stupid they are. That's right. But the beauty is, you see them come back. When you see that, see, and I've got 4 behind me now, no more ahead. Unless something happens to one of my kids and I end up with the grandkids. Oh, pray that doesn't happen. And as I look at the grandkids, I'm pleased. Not always, but I'm pleased. Strange how daughters, and I can only use my daughters as an example, how daughters will reflect their own training. Comes out. What are some of the simple things, parents? Here's a simple one, which parents don't do. If you say no about something, you got to stay with it. With all of the aw moms. You say, what's that? Aw mom, aw dad, aw mom, aw mom. See, I knew that after the 5th or 6th I'd get my way. That whining stuff.
No, you don't tolerate that. If you say no about a thing, you stay with it. If you say that you're going to do something, you'd better do it. Forget the warnings. The warnings, if they understand it as a warning. But if you say, for example, if you do that one more time, this is what's going to happen. If you don't do it, they got you. You're the clock. They've won. And you've trained them all right. You've trained them that you as a parent are irresponsible and can't be trusted. Well, how come? Well, didn't you as a parent tell them, next time you do that, this is what's going to happen, and they did it, and it didn't happen. So, if I go to you and I say something to you and I say, da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, and in a week, you say, well, what about da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, and I say, nah, forget it. Am I trustworthy? Does the average child trust its parent? I don't know. Some of your whole lives are built on threats. And they'll wait out those threats. See, they got plenty of time. They figure, well, I'm 18, you know, the threats will stop and I'll be gone. That's one simple little thing. How about a promise? And listen to me, I don't care what it takes. There's nothing more important than a promise to one of your children. You know why? They count on that. Listen, everybody else to them is going to fail them. But mom and dad can't. They're mom and dad. I mean, that's the king and the queen. But as soon as that begins to deteriorate, that's what's wrong with our kids today. Now, be honest with yourself. It happened to you too, didn't it? As a child. Huh? Parents today are selfish. They don't think of their children. They think of themselves. Best illustration of that is a simple divorce when there are children involved. People don't even realize how it absolutely tears up a child. Why? Same image. Listen to me. King and queen. All right, next. Did they make vows with each other? They make promises to each other? Did they say, in fact, as long as we both shall live? What happened? What do you think, kids are stupid? The only people that think the kids are stupid are people that grow up to be stupid parents. Got to think about that one. Kind of deep. A child wants to have security in the home. There's no more insecure person than a young child. Of all of God's creation, of all the species, Homo sapien is the most reliant upon its parent. It's absolutely useless at the point of physical birth. I mean, after all, you know, a horse pops from the womb, starts shaking a little bit, gets up on one leg, gets up on the other, is a little bit unstable, and within a few days, what's it doing? It's running and frolicking. Wouldn't it be nice if you could do that with your kids? Now, what are they doing? Right? Saliva running out of its side, or throwing up. Of all of the creatures. And what do we do as parents? And you just can't say, well, I'm your mother and I'm your father. What does that mean? Those are words. That's not the way you get your authority. You show your authority. By what? By training and by disciplining. The scripture doesn't say, tell a child that you are the father, and when it is old, it will not depart. No, it says, train up a child in the way that it shall go.
You know, I like to listen to... I'll take that back. I don't always like to, but I occasionally listen to these talk shows. And Geraldo is one that gets in the way. But I watch it, because it happens to be on at the time that I'm out there. And so he's interviewing various people, you know, half Chinese, Mexican homosexuals that were raped by their brother's mother's father, you know? And he's got a whole list of them up there. But occasionally he'll have children of celebrities. And some of them are very, very respectful. And others just quite frankly say, they could have cared less about my existence. Listen, you're a husband number one, and if you have children, you're a father number two before anything else. Look at these crumbs that leave their wife, and they owe hundreds of thousands of dollars of child support. What is that saying to you? They don't give a damn. And they probably never did. And what kind of a child are they raising? One that doesn't either. And what kind of an image does that child have of a man? A worthless piece of nothing who just runs off and doesn't even bother to call. Don't you see that your children see an image to follow? Look. Kids are hero worshipers. And they get to a certain age where you know you've done your job if you've become their hero. And then eventually, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes their hero. But you're really second as the man and as the woman. It's unfortunate, but kids want to be like their parents. You know what the problem is? They are. You didn't like that one, did you? You tell by your look. Some of you going, don't growl at me. They're your kids. You got to put up with them. I don't. Young man, one day I was walking out the door and I said to him, good morning, young man. He says, what's good about it? Oh, I stopped him real fast. And then somehow I got that into the morning message. You'd better believe I did. Now, what was wrong with that statement? Think about it. Rhetorical question. What was wrong with that? What's good about it? To whom was it disrespectful? To me. But also to himself. He saw no good in that day. There was another one that used to sit back there. Young teenager. And Bob found his notebook one day. And if you could have seen what he wrote in there about his mother, I couldn't believe it. Words that you would use, well, maybe you'd use to the lowest of life, if you even used those kind of words. Daggers in her head. Nice child, huh? You say, well, he was kind of foolish in leaving it in the back of the auditorium. Oh, really? You think so? That's the kind that wants the world to know. See, the difference between you as a sensible thinker and that one with distorted thinking is you wouldn't even write anything like that, so how would you even consider the fact of leaving a book with all of those nasty comments about your own mother in the back of the auditorium for someone to find? See, I wouldn't hide a book like that. You know why? Because I would have never written a book like that. Now, I didn't always like what my mother did. And there were some things that she did to me that really hurt. But I deserved them. Oh, at the time, I didn't think I did. We never do, right? How dare she do that to me? But she said, I said, and I didn't. So she stopped talking. Well, I remember one time I had, now those of you that don't do this won't have any problem with this, but I had all of the fuselage assembled on a model airplane in the middle of the living room. And my mother said, it's time for supper. She said, come to the table now. And I didn't. Guess what happened? Right. Say, well, that was kind of mean, wasn't it? No. I was disobedient. Here's another thing, folks. You as parents, look. If you discipline them, then you're doing your job. But if you don't do your job, then God's going to discipline them. Anyway. And you too for not doing your job. How about that? We had a woman here, by the way, years ago that never bought anything I ever said about child raising. She would actually sit there and shake her head no while I was teaching. She's really gone a long way in the Christian life. She's practically denied everything she was ever taught. She really went a long way. And her children are such aces. Not only would it please me for you to reach maturity, adjustment to the justice of God, but second to that would see your children reach maturity, adjustment to the justice of God. And have your children grow up and be fit members of society. Yeah. You see, it's an unfortunate thing that happens. Little ones become big ones. Ah, you see what I did there? Little pain in the necks. Little thieves become, little liars become big liars. Little cheats become big cheats. Study your kids. You may not like what you see. And do something about it while there's still time. You know, I've said this repeatedly, and I will say it again. The failure of the local assembly has prompted the development of Bible schools. There's no reason for a Bible school. Do you understand that? If a church is doing its job, why should a child go to Bible school? Well, to learn the Bible. Where should it have been learning the Bible? And why do we have so many areas of counseling today for wayward kids? Because we've got an awful lot of wayward parents around. I know, there's at least one person here saying it, but you don't know what I have to put up with. Yeah, as if I didn't do it. I had nothing whatever to do with raising my children. See, I lived in a bubble for 35 years. I used to study my kids, look out the window just to see how they played together. I wasn't so preoccupied with myself that I didn't take the time to see just how, and you know, some things I saw I didn't like. And I'd say, sisters treating sisters like that? Well, she! I don't care what she. If I see it again, your head comes off. And I never saw it again. And I watched them. I'd sneak up on them. I used to come around the side of the house. They'd be playing in the back. And I'd peek, and I'd just sit there and watch them. Sometimes half hour, 45 minutes. That's how you see your kids and how they're acting. Most parents are oblivious of what their children are doing because they're more interested in what they have to say or what they have to do. Well, part of your doing, dummy, is getting involved with your kids. You know, having children, it has to be a great situation because it's certainly undeserved. If only those deserving parents had children, I doubt if we'd have very many children on the face of the earth. Probably some of us wouldn't be born. So we're the products of grace. Did you understand that? Or you had to, you know, you had to pass a certain test. In this, you know, all right, now you can have children. Oh, well, 100 questions. Woo. And then sign it at the bottom. That you're willing to, in fact, comply to all those regulations. Well, it's not that way. But when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you aligned yourself with rules and laws and commandments and mandates. Oh, you like that part about children obey your parents. What about parents being parents? Honor your father and your mother. I'm your mother. I'm your father. Honor me. How can a child honor a dishonorable parent? I could always tell, this was years ago, but it was quite obvious. I could always tell children whose parents talked about the ministry derogatorily. Because kids, you see, are not, they don't hide their inhibitions. They just simply come right out with it. That's like the kid that sawed the toilet bowl in half. Because the parents said they were bringing their half-assed friends over. Yeah, well, see, that's the way kids are. That's how they think. And so you sit around and you have roast preacher at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're not even smart enough to keep our kids out of the room. Hey, if you want to act like a complete ass, half or otherwise, put them somewhere else and then just act like a complete idiot. Don't bring them into your idiocy. Because you're training them. You're teaching them. But the difference is, when you see the pastor the next Sunday morning, you say, good morning, brother. And the kid comes up and says, you jerk! Where'd you get that from? My mom called you a jerk. Don't ever say anything in front of your children that you don't want repeated. They're going to repeat it. I mean, mom said it. Dad said it. It's worth repeating. But it isn't always, is it? Is it? Point C, legitimate government. We'll have to wait till Tuesday to cover this. I had to get you with these kids because, well, frankly, you need to hear that every so often. You'd be encouraged. And I didn't mean for you in any way, this does not mean, nor is it designed for you to go home and grab your kids, line them all up, and just beat them all up. No, 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 no. That's not the answer. No, that is not the answer. As a matter of fact, I have seen over the years that many children who are unruly are just wanting attention. And if that means being beaten on, that's their means of gaining attention. All they want is mom or dad to talk to them. If that means screaming at the top of their lungs, mom's talking to me. Dad's talking to me. Children are very demanding, and rightfully so. Because they're like empty vessels that need tons and tons of information to fill their souls. And that's the problem. Because if they don't get it from you, the parent, they're going to pick it up from other sources. And you're not going to like what you see. And if you miss with your kids, don't miss with your grandkids. In other words, you can still recover some part of it. Of course, if you miss with your kids, then with your grandkids, you're going to be called an intrusion. You may have a problem, and you'll have to bow out, because that's really none of your business. The only time it's a grandparent's business is when that child is in the grandparent's home and the parents aren't there. That's right. That's what it means. Grand parents. They're the grand parents. See? If mom and dad are the king and queen, they're the grand king and the grand queen. See? Now, Sunday's Mother's Day. How encouraging. Maybe I'll say something like this on Sunday morning. Oh, brother, I could see it now. Nah, this is for the Thursday evening crowd. Sunday morning crowd, I'll have to give them flowers and fluff. You believe that? Never happened. Let's pray you're dismissed. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the clarity of instruction that we find in thy word regarding parenting, our responsibility to our children, their responsibility to us, and the overall responsibility we have ultimately to thee, because thou hast delegated this to us. Whatever area of authority we find ourselves, we're responsible. We praise thee for this, because it not only makes us volitional beings, but responsible beings. Those that thoroughly realize our position in life. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen.